Okay, we're recording now. It's May 9th, and we're finishing the sixth lesson in a six-lesson series on lengthening extension. This lesson comes from the Esalen Judith Stransky notes, and it's called Getting Your Back Back. So, and I really like this lesson a lot. It's very simple. It's one of those lessons where the movement itself is simple, but how you do it is the richness of the material. So it's in some ways an advanced lesson in that it demands that you feel yourself very clearly and keep designing the nuances for yourself because they're in the way you do the movement. So some Feldenkrais lessons are, I would say, advanced because they have hard positions or maybe Moshe does a lot of constraints to pop you out in a certain place. And there's other lessons that I consider advanced because the movement is so simple and the advancedness of it is you figuring out the nuances. So that's this is one of the latter. And here comes one more student. Come on in. Okay, so let's begin by feeling the backside. You're laying on your back. Feel, how are your heels? Notice how one heel lies differently than the other. Where do you choose to put one leg? Where do you choose to put the other? And let's do that in terms of where's your midline? So let's create the midline first. So can you bisect your head? So think of your face. Think of the middle of your forehead, top of the head. Where's the middle of the back of your head? Where's the middle right in between your sinuses? Where's the middle of the palate, the upper palate? Where's the middle of the nostrils? And the middle as we go down, middle of the lip, the bottom lip, middle of the chin, middle of the throat, and conversely in the back, the middle of the neck. So we're kind of creating a plane as if we could slice yourself right down the sagittal midline plane. So continue to create that plane and feel the middle of the throat. Feel the middle of the sternum and the corresponding somewhere in between those ribs and the spine, in between the shoulder blades, that middle. Continue that midline plane down. Feel where the ribs start to split off from one another in that V kind of shape. And what's behind that? Where's the spine? Continue down, going down to the belly button, the umbilicus. And what's behind there? What part of the spine corresponds to that? And continue that plane. Can you feel the middle of the sacrum? Can you feel the middle of the genitals? Can you feel the middle of the skin and let it continue to go on down? And then that line from the head bisecting the face all the way down is going to continue somewhere between the legs. So you can just create a midline plane. And then check and see where you've spontaneously oriented your legs in relation to the midline plane. Which one's closer? Which one's straighter to the midline plane? And then which one seems to be a little bit far out? When you lift your head to check, it changes the orientation of your hips, so it doesn't always give you an accurate answer. So this is really based on just feeling. And is the one that's further away from the midline plane, just feel how you are on the heel and feel the contact of the calf and the back of the knee, back of the thigh if there is any, and how that hip is. And put your attention into the other leg, the one that's closer, more oriented, nearer to the midline plane, and feel how that heel rests. What's the orientation of that foot? And continue up and feel the calf, feel the back of the knee, the condition of the knee, and on up to the hip. And take that leg and would you roll the entire leg? Think of the kneecap going in and out. So you're not really picking up the leg a little bit, you're just rolling it. This is going to give you a sense of your hip joint, or I would like it to give you a sense of your hip joint. So roll it in such a way that you can access deep inside yourself, through movement, where the hip joint is. Good, rest for a moment. Now take a hand that can reach and touch your body as if your hand could x-ray and go deep inside you. Touch where you think the hip joint is. on the one that you just moved. And then fingertip it. So that if I could drill a hole right from your fingertip, we'd encounter the hip. The ball part of the hip. The ball is a hip, ball and socket joint. Yeah. So if there's confusion, right? People are like touching their pelvises. Where is that? Maybe the groin. Where's the hip? Where is it? Okay, rest for a moment. So the hip joint, I should say, is made of two pieces. One is the pelvis. So like when we say put your hand on your hips, most people put it on their pelvis. That's really not what I'm after completely right now, though. I'm after where's the location of the ball and socket. So the socket is located somewhere within the pelvis, but I'm looking for where's that location. So take the other leg and just go in and out, spin the knee and the whole leg, roll it a little in and out, and see if you can, through movement, locate spatially within yourself where the hip joint is. And then go back to the other side, the other leg. So this rolling in and out is just to give you a waking up of, oh, there's a hip joint somewhere in there. Uh-huh. Good. Now bend your legs up and stand your feet. And just feel for yourself the location of your hip joints. They are deep, deep, deep within that pelvis. We actually can't touch them. Okay, good. Just feel the length of your spine. All the way, that whole midline, head on down. Feel the breadth of your back. And when I say breadth of your back, where do you go to? Do you go to low back? Do you go to some spot in your back? Do you go to shoulder blades? Do you go to mid ribs? How much of your back is in your sensory awareness? Wonderful. Could you please roll to your side and come to standing? And stand on the floor so that you have a firmer surface than your mat. So as soon as we leave the floor, we leave contact with the back. You know, in Feldenkrais, we get a lot of feedback from the floor. And this is a standing lesson, essentially. So all of a sudden, you're in free space. But guess what? In life, most of the time, you're upright in free space. So contact and feel your back in free space. Nothing's touching it, it's just in free space, and feel the condition of your back. Feel how it is that you stand over your feet. That's it. And just an easy standing. It doesn't have to be good posture or anything. Just your normal, easy standing. There's a mirror in here. If that's distracting, just turn yourself any orientation away from it. If it's distracting. If it's not, just leave yourself where you are. Okay, do the following movement. Bring your hip joints back. And then go back to where you were and do that many times. So whatever that means to you, bring your hip joints back. Some people are like, what does that mean? There you go. Keep going. Keep going. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways of doing that. You know, what does that mean? To take the hips back. Uh-huh. So there's as many different ways of doing it as there's personalities in the room. Certain people are bending really low with doing, other people are just kind of curving. Pelvises are doing different things, arms are doing different things. Just, you want to at this point, just feel yourself. There's no shoulds or how it has to go, but what is it that your particular system wants to do when you hear the command or the cue, bring your hips back? Just do it several times again. Just feel where you want to go with that command. Mm-hmm. Good. Walk around a little bit. Feel your walking. This is largely a standing lesson, so you know you can stop anywhere in the room and just stand any orientation. You're just internally checking in with yourself. So stop where you are. Just get a space again. And now, stand just still for a moment and put all of your attention in the right hip joint. Now, take the right hip joint back. So, what do you feel happening with your shoulders as you do that? Are the shoulders obliged to turn? If they are turning, you are rotating the left hip joint, and you don't intend to do that. So, just take the right hip back. It's like a puzzle, isn't it? What does that mean? And allow the foot to, and the knee to be soft, and however. So there's turning and there's taking the hip back. Taking the hip back does involve some rotation, but it's not the same as completely turning your shoulders. So it's sort of a trick. That's it. Keep going. Take the right hip back and then just resume your standing. That's nice. Good. Walk around a little bit. So in this lesson, there's really no, even though the movement command is sort of seems isolated, you know, we're just talking about the hip, nothing in Feldenkrais is ever really isolated, right? So you make your system serve the command, and the command is take that hip back. Okay. Stay where you are for a moment, and let's go ahead and put all of your attention in the left hip. The left hip joint. It's difference, right? The left hip joint, where the ball and socket come in. And take the left one back. And it's okay to shift your weight. It's okay if the top of yourself does something. Often, something has to happen. A little bit. The spine has to change. I mean, we're all hooked together, so it's not like you can stay static still and just do this movement, right? Something happens. Yeah, take it back. Back means behind you. Somewhere back there. Yes. Lovely. Good. Walk around a little bit. There's many ways to take the hip joint back, right? Some people, the pelvis tilts so that the top of the pelvis, the sacrum, will go back more. Some people keep it tilted in such a way that more of the tailbone goes back. All of those are various options. Stay where you are for one more time. And now go back to just taking both hips back and see how it is now. Just taking your hips back. As you do that movement, allow your weight to shift a little bit onto your heels and unweight the ball of your feet. Not so much that you tip over, because you have to do something so you don't tip over. And it's not; these aren't very big movements. They're not meant to super challenge you in terms of falling or anything like that. Good. Okay. Good. Walk around again. Good. So these walks are sort of like our little rests here, or walking rests. Good. Stay where you are. Now, let your arms go outstretched at shoulder height. So in front of you, like as if you had a table or something in front of you. And let the wrists just hang. And now please let the shoulders hang a little bit. There you go. Okay? So the elbows are relatively straight, but nothing super stick straight or anything. And go ahead and take your hips back. Let your knees be soft. And what is it? Feel like to take the hips back. Uh-huh. So for some, with taking the hips back, the arms do all sorts of interesting things.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good. Put your arms down. It's interesting. Okay. So rest for a moment. And maybe if you can remember what you did, let's just have three people. Let's look at these three people. One, two, three. And we'll just do one at a time and we'll just see what's their strategy with their arms. So arms are in front. Yeah, and then take your hips back. We'll split the class in half like that. Uh-huh. Just do that movement. Uh-huh. That's nice. Yeah, you see how different it is? Good, rest you guys. Let's do you four. Just split the class like that. Yeah. So some the head goes with, some the head stays horizon, some the arms go up and down, some the arms reach out. Good, rest. So, why? Why do we have so many variations, right? What are we kind of looking for in this lesson? We'll see. Okay, come. Do you need a rest laying down for a moment? You guys are good? Okay, you let me know. Okay, it's not that demanding. Okay, bring the arms out again. Good. And resume doing the movement that we were just doing of taking the hips back. And now, here's what we'll do. When you take the hips back, we'll let the arms reach out forward. And when the hips come up, we'll let the arms drop. So that's like standing, right? And then as you take your hips back, we'll let the arms swing a little bit out, you know, so that the arms are kind of going up and down. So as the hips go back, the arms go more towards reaching out. And as you assume standing, the arms can drop. Uh-huh. Okay. Good. Feel how you do it. Excellent. Rest for a moment. Just let the shoulder girdle rest. Good. Now, go ahead and hug yourself. So you wrap around the shoulder. One hand catches the shoulder blade, other hand on the top. And wrap yourself like that. And go ahead and continue to take your hips backwards. Do y'all need the door propped open or are you okay in here? Heat-wise? Okay. Mm-hmm. So see what that's like. You take your hips back and you embrace yourself. And as you do that, begin to let the weight go off the balls of your feet, a little more onto the heels. Okay. And let that go. Good. Okay. Now, take your arms out again in front of yourself. Let the wrists relax. Mm-hmm. Now, different movement. Take the middle of your back, between the shoulder blades. There you go. And then stand again. With the arms, you're going to stay. If your arms get tired, put them down and just take a rest and then resume. But go ahead and begin sinking the chest. Uh-huh. And as the chest sinks, the middle of your back, wherever your middle.
Okay.
Yeah? Wherever that feels to you, the middle of your back, backwards. Doesn't mean that your lower back's not doing something, right? But your attention is there. Good. Good. Rest for a moment. Let your arms go down. Take a little bit of a walk. And then I'm wondering if we can look at one student. So the spine is an interesting thing. And this coordination with taking the hips back or taking the back back is actually really a fundamental coordination, and it's one that I'm still learning about. It's fascinating. Could we look at you? So, could we gather around? Please, do you mind?
No time.
Put your arms here and take your middle of your back backwards. So, she has a very interesting strategy of doing this, and she's gotten in, she's almost there, which is why I'm using her as a demo. Doesn't she kind of look like a you know, like the pinchers on a lobster claw? You know, can you see how this is kind of coming together? Which is really interesting. If you look at her from behind, you okay? You can rest anytime you want, right? She has a sense of like the cue is to bring, come behind her so you can see. Everybody, come behind. The cue is to bring this back. Good. Now rest for a moment, Julie. This movement is pretty known for her, to do that with this part of her spine. The trick, though, in other words, why is it so known for her? Because not only, and Julie, can open your eyes so you can see, not only is she, let me see, going like this with the spine, like I could fold and my head's going down, like I can fold this way, but she's also folding like a book. Right? So she's got both foldings going on, which is fantastic, because when you have both those foldings going on, it's a big learning, right? You're going, uh-huh, because I know Sharon's talked about both those foldings probably a zillion times to you. The trick, though, for her is, how can I get it so that I leave the arms and the shoulder girdle a little quieter? Do I have to make a movement forward with the arms, or can I move myself away and they fall into that place, right? So that's the interesting thing. The arms will fold, and it's almost like the shoulders in front could touch each other because you're moving your spine out of the way. You're moving your spine backwards. So it's interesting, you know, and the head will go down a little bit. Okay, rest, Julie, and everybody will go ahead and do a little of that. Think of, not only do you fold top to bottom, but you fold side to side, so it's as if the tips of the shoulders could come in closer to each other as you move the middle of the back or the area between the shoulder blades back. And eventually the head will start to want to go down and the chin will start to want to go down. And of course the lumbar spine is doing something. The hips are even doing something. Everything's doing something, but our attention is this lovely. So how can you let the arms, by virtue of you moving you away from them, the arms change? Not from initiating it from a shoulder girdle. Yeah. It's tiring, huh? You can put your arms down. That's nice. Good. And then walk around and we'll do a little bit more of that. Very nice work. So again, these movements may seem a little like, yeah, but if you nuance it, you are going to find a host of information. Just pay attention to yourself. Go slowly. It's a very interesting amount of information available in this lesson. So let's go that. Let's do that again. How do we move the mid-back backwards? Or the back between the shoulder blades or somewhere, bra line, somewhere there. Do you need to hunch the shoulder blades? Do they hunch of their own accord?
What does hunching go towards the neck?
Yep. You know, shrug. Right? See, you have a pattern of hunch. You feel?
Sure.
So just let the shoulders go. Just do a little bit over the middle of your back backwards. That's lovely. Good. Then come back up. Uh-huh. I took a gyrotonics lesson about 3 months ago. And it's all about like not hunching. At least that was what my lesson was all about. You know, it was really fascinating. It's every time I just pull in those shoulders, it's so amazing. Relax your arms a little bit. Walk around a little bit.
rest.
Okay. Stay where you are. And now put your arms out in front again. And let's do the original idea, which was take both hips back. So whatever participates, it may be very different. I'm not asking for the same movement we were just doing, and yet maybe now your spine moves a little bit differently. Take your hips back. So for many people now, the arms aren't really necessarily reaching forward as you take your hips back, but the arms are just there, and by virtue of you going away, it looks like they're reaching, right? But they're really not reaching forward. You're just going away. No, you don't have to. That was a variation. But this time, just let the arms stay. Let the arms stay. So, continue. And you differentiate more. You have a really good sense of your hips moving back. But differentiate more moving your back back. Slowly, slowly. Good. Now relax the shoulders.
A little bit more flexion this way.
Yes. So the answer to his question was, do you mean I should have a little more flexion in the spine? And that is what I mean. Resting when you need to, because it's a lot to bring your arms out. Good. We are? Yeah. Okay, I hope so. Unmanned photographer out there. Okay, rest for a moment. Now just let your arms be by your side. And as we stood at the beginning, just stand. Let your feet change the weight. As you bring your hips back, you're going to start to lift your toes. And not a lot, but at least unweight your toes and go on your heels. And go ahead and just bring the hips back. Let the knees be soft. Bring the hips back. And then bring them forward. Do you feel a slight nuance that the arms now hang? And you move in relation to hanging arms. Feel that. So what must you do with your spine to allow widening spinal lengthening as the hips go back? And don't make it such a balance for you that everything tenses up. Just keep the knees soft. Take the back back. That's it. Yeah. Good. Rest for a moment. So there's this phenomenon of squatting. Who in this room can squat with their feet flat? Tell me. Who can go all the way down with their feet flat? Like a child could, or ice skaters do. Go all the, squat and your heels don't rise up off the floor. You did it.
Squatting toilet.
Squatting.
Sorry.
Right. Yeah, can you go with your heels completely flat? You don't have to pick them up. Yeah, so she can. So there's a phenomena in squatting that this has to do with taking the back back. And if we look at her for a moment, she can take this part of her back really far back right here. Yeah, you know that maybe about yourself. So that makes the movement really easy for her because she knows there's a phenomenon. You can get up if you want. There's a phenomenon in squatting at first. Maybe it feels like we're arched a little bit, but it doesn't have to be. If we just really go down sort of in the optimal way, it's really not about like a super duper arch, right? We don't really, you just lengthen the back. Right? You lengthen, you lengthen, you lengthen, and then eventually you go down. So we have a ballet bar here, which is kind of fun to work with. So this is not part of Moshe, because Moshe didn't have the ballet bar. But hold on to the ballet bar, right? And I don't care how far you go down, but feel, in squatting, you take the hips back, the back of the back goes back, and you may have to stand away from the bar, just figure out where you need to be. And then, you know, and you're not really going to hang too much on the bar, but you're going to feel that lengthening that happens in your back. And then you come back up through the power of the feet. At some point, the bottom drops down. So I'm going to be a little crude here. But at some point, right, if I were going to poop, right, and, you know, people do this if they're going to poop, you know, you'd be like this, and then when you got to poop, you angle it down, right, because the poop is, right, at some point in squatting, you know, you're down, right? It was the same thing with birthing a baby, right? The baby shoots out straight down if you're squatting, right? So eventually the genitalia gets aligned up with the ground, right? It's not really an arch. At some point, it doesn't become an arch. And we have squatting mothers and camping. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be crude, but sometimes, you know, that's how it is. Okay, come back up. Good. Okay, lie on your mat. Could you lie on your side and just recall which side you're on, because we will eventually work on your other side. So just note for yourself whether you're on your right side or your left side. And just lie comfortably, let your knees stack one on the other. Bend your knees so you're stable on your side. And in this position, contact your back in your awareness. What's your back? And very easily and gently do something that moves your back. And then you can release that and come back to where you were. So this is an excellent opportunity for you to feel where you understand your back from your self-image, right? So what parts of your back are really in your self-image as you do this? There may be parts of your back that make most of the movement and other parts that make less, but the idea is not to try and make everything maximize. It's just to have the scope of your whole back in your awareness. And there's obviously some muscles that make this happen, right? In this position, it's not a gravitational fall or anything. You're contracting somewhere that moves your back backwards. What do you do with your breathing as you do that? And are you rushing? Or are you taking the time to feel, how is it that I do this? Do I like what happens to my head and neck when I do this? If they're getting crunched in some way, it won't feel as good. So you give yourself some support, or you change a little bit what you're doing so that the whole of your spine can be more harmonizing. That's really good. It's like the primitive movement, which is like a pulse a little bit, a little contraction, a little rebound, a little coming in, a little coming out. And can you make it simpler and cleaner? Can this movement be useful for your diaphragm? In other words, what does that mean? It means many things, but one of the first things I have in mind is, does it provide a sense of three-dimensional space for you? And when you pause, do you feel your breathing and your diaphragm differently? So even though the cue is to move your back backwards, you are a three-dimensional creature, and you never move just in one dimension. We can't. So how much of your three-dimensionality do you have with yourself as you do this movement? Do you remember that midline plane? Roll on your back and take a rest. And as you rest on your back, contact again your midline plane. Has it become clear where that is? And roll to your other side. And now that you're on your side, do you feel your midline plane? Can you feel the bisection of your skull? Can you feel the bisection of your neck vertebra? Can you feel the bisection of your dorsal vertebra or the thoracic and the rib in the front, the sternum, in the midline of the belly, through you, as if we could skewer from your belly out your back, that three-dimensional, two-dimensional plane, but your three-dimensional space. All the way down, all the way the back of the sacrum. Where's that going? When you take your back back, does your coccyx go back? Or does your sacrum go back? Does anyone not know what I mean by coccyx and sacrum? For those of you who are listening on tape, the coccyx is the tailbone. So if you could, here, could everyone take their tailbone, the very tip of the right where your gluteal cleft begins, right? We often have a dimple there. That's the tailbone. Could you stick your tailbone out? Take your tailbone back? Can you feel how that's a really different movement? It's arching usually when you stick the tailbone out, which is different than taking the back back. Because guess what? When the tailbone goes out like that, what's happening to your back in this position? It's actually going forward. So if the cue is bring your back backwards in this position, the coccyx is not going to be the one to stick out. More the sacrum, which is the upper part of the pelvis. We often have two dimples where the sacrum is. It's the very end of the lower spine. So begin again, taking your back back in this position and finding out how the sacrum tilts and moves. So just feel your sacrum response. And when you think of taking the back back somewhere mid-back or between the shoulder blades, do you have a sacrum that's responding a little bit? What's happening in the chest? Is it folding? Remember we watched one of the students do that, like the pincer claws. Are your shoulders getting closer together? Are you folding like a book as well as from up to down? What happens to your throat? And again, the diaphragm. Take your time. This movement can be fairly restful. When you're satisfied with it, you just roll over onto your back and you take a rest. Do you feel that your breath has more space? And slowly bring yourself back up into standing. Take a moment in standing to really feel how you're doing it, how you are through your back and over your feet when you stand. And again, stand off your mat so you can feel the floor. Good, and once you're up there and you've just scanned yourself a little bit, begin with the initial movement, which was taking your hips back. See if that's changing a little bit. You can allow the front part of the foot to unweight. In some, it may even lift. Good. Now, put your arms behind you. And go ahead and, if you can, bend them at the elbows and hold on elbow to elbow. If you can't, just hold hands, if you can, somewhere behind you. And begin in this position again to take your hips back, allowing the toes to lift a little bit, allowing you to be a little more on your heels. Back and forth. Now, continue to do this, but now just take your right hip back. Just the right. That's it. Slowly find out how you accommodate that. Does your weight shift? Do you feel where your arms are? They're sort of across your lower back. Do you feel your lower back pushing out into your forearm? Or do you feel it withdrawing away from your forearm? What's happening as you take your right hip back? Take your left hip back. Everyone okay with their arms? You can maybe switch the arms. Hold on, just crisscross them the other way. And take the left hip back. And can you do that without letting the shoulders rotate? Once take the left, once take the right. Really let the whole top of the toes pick up as you take the hip back. So you go on to the heel. That's good. Good rest, walk. Find what your walking feels like after that. Stop where you are and just place your feet together, right together, knees together if possible, and take the hips back like this. So you're going to go onto your heels a little bit, unweight. Mm-hmm. That's it. Don't have to be big movements. And once you've done a few slow movements, try and increase your pace with this. Yeah, your arms can do what they need to do. Do your legs have to be stick straight? Okay. Rest for a moment. Walk a little bit. Could you take your mats and put them all in the corners somewhere? Yeah, so that we have a clear floor. So, here's the task. We're going to do a sequence, always walking backwards, never forward. So you're going to catch yourself. You want to take one little step forward, or, oh, now I'm at the mirror and I got to go. No, you turn and you continue to walk backwards. So here's what we're going to do. And just, you know, this room is really big, so this is great. We're going to go up on our heels, okay? Up on the heels, and can you step on your heels backwards? When you need to rest, you just stand, but you don't walk forward. Right? You may need a rest, which is fine. So, rest for just a sec. So here's the idea. Can we make the chest such that we can have it so loose that it won't seem like a funny walk or like a Charlie Chaplin walk or whatever. So what can we do to the back, even though this is a little bit weird? So maybe it means the knees have to soften or the back needs to do something. But like if someone saw you, they'd be like, oh, you're pretty relaxed with this, you know? You're on your heels. You're on your heels. Uh-huh. Funny, huh? Good. Rest for a moment. Stand. Do not walk forward. Go up on the balls of your feet. Just raise the heels. Go up on your toes. And then come back down. Go up on your toes again. And stay on your toes. And walk on your toes. Backwards. Always, always, always backwards. If you need to rest, you simply put your heels down, but you don't go forward. Rest when you need to so you don't cramp up in your calf. Everybody rest for a moment. Feel how the heels are contacting again. Good. Do a few moments in standing of just bringing your hips backwards, letting that back go backwards and the back lengthen a little bit, letting the arms hang, letting the knees be soft enough so that you can counterbalance as the toes start to unweight a little bit. Good. Once you get on your heels, begin again making, doesn't have to be super stiff. It's kind of a funny little walk. You can make it really funny. Take little itsy bitsy steps with the heels. Little, and let your arm, let your chest just do whatever you want to do, right? You can be like a little funny thing, but little itsy bitsy, it could be like, I was thinking of like a Carol Burnett skit. When I was, you know, who is Vicky, her colleague, who's that gal, Vicky? She played the grandmother, remember? We'll do the Vicky Lawrence in just a second, but this was reminding me of Vicky Lawrence and Carol Burnett. Yeah. Good. Now, can you take big steps? Big steps. Big steps. And then go back to taking little steps. And anytime you need to rest, you just come off your heels and you rest. It's pretty demanding. But you don't go forward. No forward. Even when you collide with each other. Good. Now, can you just walk normally? Go backwards. Just a normal, you know, not on your heels, but just walking backwards a little bit. Good. Stop where you are. Good. Place your arms out in front of you again. and take your hips backwards and take your back backwards. That's it. Now, that's it. Soften the knees a little bit so they're not super, super, super stuck straight, because then it's harder to balance, right? Who says your knees even have to be straight to take your hips back? Do they? What if you did it with bent knees? Is it possible? When you do it with bent knees, it starts to look like squatting. A little bit. It's one way of doing it, right? The hips go back and then eventually they go down. Uh-huh. Good. Uh-huh. You okay? Yeah. Widening the back. Good. Rest your arms. Good. Now we're going to put the front mode on, which is going to be a heel walk. This is the Vicki Lawrence walk. So go on your heels and walk frontwards on the heels. Not fun if you have heel spurs, but I don't think anyone has heel spurs. It's just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Doesn't it feel like, yeah, let's be theatrical. Okay? So someone's doing this thing with their elbows, right? Let's just be exaggerated with your shoulders for a moment. Make it, you know, wicked theatrical. And then after you've made it theatrical, rest for a moment. Give your heels a break because it's a lot. We're not used to walking on that part of our heels. At least consistently like that. We're going to keep in the forward mode. But now we're going to say, if someone took a snapshot of you from waist up, they would think you were just walking normally, but you're on your heels. Okay? So however slow that needs to be, that they'd be like, oh, you know what? They look like they're just relaxed in the show. Forward, forward, forward. Forward on your heels. They don't have to be. They don't have to stay straight. Maggie had a question. Why are we keeping our legs so straight? We're just on our heels, however that means. Yeah. So, yeah. But on your heels, your toes aren't coming down at all. That's it. Good. Rest and walk normally. Walk normally. Walk normally. It feels like holiday, doesn't it? So did you feel like your legs were staying straight as you did that?
No, I noticed that yours were, so I was trying to, but I thought, I can bend my knees there.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Stay where you are. Actually, could everyone face that wall? Good. So now, we're going to go back onto the heels a little bit, and we're going to make a hop, a jump backwards. And we're going to go back on the heels. Yeah. Good, and then rest when you need to. A little hop on the heels, though. I know, it's... So how do we not totally bang our heels and kill ourselves, right? Where's the shock absorption, right? Created in your system so that you're not killing yourself, right? Where's the shock absorption? And this is a sprung Marley floor. This is about as shock absorption as it gets, is this floor, right? Walk forward a little bit. Ah, okay, enough on our heels, but now you know where your heels are. She's what?
Like coming off the horse the wrong way around.
You're
on your heel.
Oh, is it? Okay. Now just stand for a moment. Imagine you're brushing your teeth and there's the sink and you have to spit. This is something we always do. Most of the time you do something to get your mouth closer to the sink when you spit, right? So tonight, when you're brushing your teeth, you're going to think, I'm going to lengthen and bring my hips backwards a little bit. Let your knees bend. And then look how close I am to wash my face. Imagine you're washing your face, right? So here's what I'm wanting you to feel. Actually, a very fundamental concept. So I was taught, mimicked, I don't know where I was taught this, but it took me a long time to understand it, that every time I brought my hips back, I did it with an arch all the time. This was like Tracy 101, right? All the time. I know, I was even lucky if I ever brought the right one back.
Is that what you were taught in PT school? I didn't hear what you said.
I don't know where I was taught it. I absorbed it somehow, you know. But this was like my pattern, you know, 101, right? So that whenever I spit in the sink or did whatever, I'd like squat, but this would be like me, you know, like skiing, you know. And in fact, you're not as good of a skier, by the way. I never could do moguls very well. I was like intermediate advanced, but I was never really an advanced skier. I think because I skied like this. And when you are in a lot, this is a lot of work in your back, you're less free to do all that rotation and edging that skiing. I'm just thinking of this right now. So anyway, so it's very interesting. I'm very still fascinated when I wash my face at the sink, how I'll be like, oh, I'm doing traces. And then it's like, why am I making so much shortening in my back? And Yvon Joly, my main trainer, used to always say, lengthen. And I was like, lengthen? I thought lengthening was this. This is a long back to me. Because look how open my chest is. It must be a long back. It's not a long back. Right? So there's this phenomena of taking your hips back and letting the back lengthen. It's right here. I'm at my length. I can feel it. And I don't look like I'm hunched. And I don't look like I'm arched. It's a feeling inside. Do you feel it? We do this movement a zillion times. We wash our face. We pick up the bar of soap. We reach for the razor. We decide to put on a sock. And many of us don't ever get those moments of lengthening that we can get. And it's not the same as tucking, right? I don't go back like that, right? It's lengthening extension, right? Lengthening. Now, if you were a skier, here you are, and you're bombing down the hill. You feel you're in your feet, you're in your skis, you're in your heels, right? You're very well balanced here, right? And then you have, your back is free right here. The back's not free right here. I don't know. Does anyone have any comment about their own experience with this? No? You're like me. You are too. You feel that? You are too. So we're archers. You feel like you're actually flexed, but you look in the mirror and you're not. Yeah, you're like lengthened. And if you're ever going to be a squatter, that's going to need to happen. It's the same with what? With horseback riding. You're lengthening down. Uh-huh. Yeah, and for some of us, it's just a little bit. I couldn't squat in my 20s at all. Not at all, without my heels coming way up. Yeah, lovely. Good. Now, let's do this combination. We'll do one more combination. So go ahead and take your hips backwards. As you do that, look up and take the back of the head and let the back of the head tilt back. Maybe let's just do one at a time. Take the right hip back and then go to horizon and then take the left hip back. Let yourself go on your heel. See what that feels like to take the back of the head back at the same time. Slowly, because they're easy movements and yet you can do them in a zillion ways. So you just feel. You want the back to have length, the low back at least in this variation. Good. Now try both together. Just a little bit. And then going to horizon when you stand up. Good. Now, walk a little bit. Find a new place. And in your new place, try the variation that as you take your hips back, you tuck the chin down. So again, these are just differentiation variations, but you'll be looking down and you'll tuck that chin in whilst your back goes backwards. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Letting your arms hang. Lovely. Shoulder girdle released. Good. Yeah. Good. Now, forget the head. Just leave the head wherever it wants to be and go back to the very first movement. Let the arms hang. Just take the hips back. And feel the shoulder girdle hang. Feel where the head wants to go. Feel that lengthening in your back. Feel the bending of the knees if they need to bend. And then come back up. It's okay to have soft knees. So Maggie had a great question. She's like, why are your legs so straight? Good question, because I'm still in my arching, Maggie. That's why. You know, I'm still it's still disorganized. Good. Okay, now you're going to go into your reverse mode, onto your heel, and walk backwards on your heel. Slowly, easily, keep it loose. If you always turn the same way, turn the other way. Practice going in a little figure of eight. Breathe. Keep your floating ribs loose. Good. And rest. So, the floating ribs, if I just demonstrate where they are on you, can you hold the recorder? The floating ribs are here. Yeah, you're fine. You can let that go down. They're here. They're basically right around where the love handle area is. And when our back is in a lot of tension, we don't move the floating ribs. So we don't get our excursion of breath. The cool thing about the floating ribs is they're not attached by the cartilage to the sternum. So they have this huge excursion because they're not attached. And when those get really able to have their excursion, your whole aerobic power, not to mention just your well-being and your ability to take a deep breath, really changes. So that tonight when you're spitting in the sink or washing your face, you'll go down, just do it with me, just go down and go, gosh, I can breathe and keep those floating ribs wide and easy. And I'm just, you know, washing my face, right? And then coming up. Same thing every time you go to sit down. We toilet. It's like a bathroom night, isn't it? Everything we have to do in the bathroom. But, you know, we sit down a fair amount, right? On chairs and whatever. But maybe the bathroom's going to be your cue. So you're going to be sitting down, and it's like, how do you sit down? Can you just be gentle and sit down? And then keep that air, keep the back released. Keep the back open when you're driving in your car. How are your floating ribs and how is the back? Good. When you go to pick up something off the floor, when you're vacuuming, are you keeping the back? When you take the vacuum, does anyone not vacuum? The bachelor doesn't vacuum! Maybe he sweeps, who knows? But you know, it's a fairly heavy thing, right? When you take it back, guess what? Your back can go backwards a little bit. I mean, all these nuances of, see, there, you're keeping it stiff and you're just doing that. You're moving from where you know how to move, which is your mid-back, right? So I'm going, no, we're gonna take it from the hips and the whole back, right? Because this is just mid-back right here, right? But no, the whole back's going to maybe go back, and maybe my feet are going to, like Tai Chi, I'm going to go on heels and toes. And it's very interesting doing Feldenkrais with your vacuum cleaner, dancing with your vacuum cleaner. Any other functional things come to mind for anyone? No. Okay. Walk a little bit and see now how the breadth of your back feels with your walking. And the nature of your walking, the nature of the softness in your feet now. Can you feel the back side of you now in free space? Good. And one final time, lay on the floor. Maybe don't even get your mat, just this is a pretty soft floor. Down you go. Yeah, just feel what it's like to receive contact from the floor? Are there parts of your back that contact differently now? When you feel your back, do you feel it more fully, more three-dimensionally? So lengthening, 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 extension. I say extension, it's really just lengthening the back. Good. Yeah. Okay. Good. Come up into sitting. Feel how sitting is. Okay. So next, I'm going to stop this now and then we'll do announcements. Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening. I pushed the middle button. I don't think I pushed the right one. No.